Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
Miami Sports Radio, WQAM.
Now, yes, this update is sponsored by Walgreens. We are broadcasting live, my friends, from Panthers territory, the BB&T Center in Sunrise. For the Florida Panthers will host the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight. Face-off is set for 7:30. Our pregame coverage will get underway at 7 o'clock. You can hear it, of course, right here on WQAM. Miami Hurricanes will look to improve to 8-0 this Saturday. The 10th-ranked Canes will host the 13th-ranked Virginia Tech Hokies. Hokies are a 2.5-point favorite, according to the odds makers. Kickoff Saturday is set for 8 o'clock from Hard Rock Stadium. You can hear it right here with our coverage starting at 4 p.m. Meanwhile, the Miami Dolphins will try and bounce back from their 40-0 loss last Thursday in Baltimore. This Sunday, the 4-3 Dolphins will host the Oakland Raiders. It'll be Miami's first game since trading Jay Ajayi to Philadelphia. Kickoff Sunday is set for 8:30. You can hear that game right here. And with expert pharmacy care from Walgreens, diabetes won't slow you down. Stop by for the medications you rely on and supplies from all the major brands. Walgreens at the corner of Happy and Healthy. The Alex Dono Show is coming your way next here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Miami Sports Radio WQAM.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Edmore's is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County. This is the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes! Oh, it is.
It is!
The Alex Dono Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. We are streaming all over the internet at WQAM.com on your computer or on your smartphone. The TuneIn Radio app or the radio.com app, however you listen, my friends. We appreciate your patronage here tonight. I am broadcasting from the chilly BB&T Center in Sunrise. This is the spot, my friends, to watch the Panthers hosting the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight. 7:30 face-off, 7 o'clock pregame show here on the radio station. And I am calling this George Richards night tonight. Longtime Miami Herald writer George Richards, who a couple of months ago left for a great opportunity to work with the Columbus Dispatch and cover the Columbus Blue Jackets. So he's back in the building tonight. George Richards, who is on the Media Wall of Fame here at the BB&T Center for covering the Panthers since the beginning, he is back in the building tonight, and we will visit with George around 6:45 this evening to help set the table for Panthers hockey here tonight. It's an important game for the Panthers. Trying to keep pace in the Atlantic Division. You're sixth place at the moment, 9 points on the year. Tough loss. He didn't struggle to score any goals on Monday, but suffered a tough defeat, 8-5 at the hands of the excellent division-leading Tampa Bay Lightning. That's a team that will just dismantle you on the power play. They had a couple of power play goals. Very tough team to stop from scoring when you've got Nikita Kucherov and Steven Stamkos, who are a couple of snipers. The Panthers will face a very good goaltender tonight in Sergei Bobrovsky, who is extremely hot this year, but a much-needed victory for the Panthers here tonight, so we hope you come out and support us. And if you're not here at the BB&T Center, you listen to us on the radio station. And it's a big week. I was down at Dolphins practice today. And, you know, the dust is still kind of settling there at the team facility after the Jay Ajayi trade. I'm going to play for you some audio this segment from Kenyon Drake, who I guess is the starting running back now, although it's going to be a running back by committee. You know, the Dolphins know that they can't just subtract a guy like Jay Ajayi who can give you 24, 25, 26 carries and expect Damian Williams and or Kenyon Drake, who have combined for 124 carries, to all of the sudden step in and one of the two of them produce a Jay Ajayi-like workload. It's not going to happen. Now, for Adam Gase, I think he is now trying to not only further instill his culture, because, yeah, it's been a lot of people have been making a lot of the idea that, you know, he and Jay weren't getting along. There were issues there. There were clashes. He wasn't happy with Ajayi's, just the way he approached games, the way he studied, not happy with his attitude. I think there's something to all of that, but I think a bigger factor could be the idea that Gase has an idea in his head for what a running back should be like, a multiple back, a guy who can catch passes out of the backfield. Ajayi didn't really fit that mold, and Adam Gase, I think, he looks at Kenyon Drake as somebody who can fill that mold moving forward. So I want to hear from Kenyon Drake here, who spoke to the media today. Here is Kenyon Drake, you know, describing his first practice, which was yesterday, first practice since Jay Ajayi was traded.
No, I mean, it was whatever the game plan was, they just inserted us in. So, like I said, that's why I feel like it doesn't really change anything for me at the end of the day, because regardless, we went in there and did the same plays. If he wasn't practicing, if he was. So I got the same, you know, mental reps if I wasn't in, and the same reps actually when I was in. So in the game, it won't really change.
Here's Kenyon Drake. Again, he addressed the media today. Oddly enough, we've not heard from Damian Williams yet, by the way. So we're hoping that's going to happen tomorrow, and I'll have some Damian Williams audio to play because his role is also going to step up. But Kenyon Drake, this is the guy that Adam Gase drafted last year. This is the second-year player. This was the spark plug from Alabama. I know that he was the guy riding shotgun to Derrick Henry, who had like 40 carries a game for Nick Saban. But Kenyon Drake is somebody with his speed and his pass-catching ability can be an X factor at running back. Here is Kenyon Drake saying that now that his workload is going to increase, it still hasn't changed his mindset heading into this weekend's matchup.
No, not at all. Just like I said, it's just about getting better day by day, making sure I know where my responsibilities from a game plan standpoint and go out there and play the best game I can possible.
You know, the thing that I don't like about the Ajayi trade, you know, there are a lot of things I don't like about it, of course. I'm a fan of Jay Ajayi. You know, I know that I heard Omar Kelly say this on the radio station this afternoon, and I had noticed this, that Ajayi was becoming a little bit more of a diva. You know, wasn't quite as cordial to the media so far this year as he was last season when he really started putting together those 200-yard games and really seemed appreciative to talk to us. But I still saw Ajayi as somebody who was a good locker room guy. Teammates loved him, got along with everybody. You know, if you look back on something like this, right, like you look back to last Friday when Gase had that scorched earth press conference the day after the 40-0 embarrassment at Baltimore. I should have done a better job reading the tea leaves. I mean, just for some reason, I thought that a player as talented and as effective of a downhill runner as Jay Ajayi would be immune to the trade deadline. I mean, first of all, the trade deadline in the NFL is usually garbage. It's usually boring. Like this year, it was more like the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Like the trade deadline this year was active in a way it never is in the National Football League. But for as upset as Adam Gase may have been with Jay Ajayi last week, I didn't think that would be enough to translate into a deadline trade. I should have read the tea leaves a little bit better when Gase kept talking about how our running back, obviously talking about Ajayi because that's the guy getting the lion's share of the carries, how our running back is not prepared, how our running back is not blocking the right people, and how our running back is trying to hit the home run on every play instead of picking up the 3, 4, and 5 yards that are right in front of him. I should have done a better job realizing, man, Coach Gase is pissed right now. I mean, I knew he was pissed, but I thought he was pissed sort of at the whole machine and not a specific cog. I should have read the tea leaves a little bit better on that one, that this could actually, Gase kept saying, you know what, if you don't want to do your job, if you don't want to be a part of this team, if you think that you are above the law here, we're going to get rid of you. It was easy to do that when you were getting rid of Dallas Thomas and Billy Turner and Jameel Douglas, who were all terrible last year. I really didn't think that rule would apply to somebody as effective as an every down back, a downhill runner, is Jay Ajayi. I should have seen it coming, but I didn't see it coming until it smacked me on the face on Tuesday when the move was actually made. I did not see that one coming at all. And Dolphins offensive coordinator Clyde Christensen also spoke to the media today and shed a little bit more light on everything that's going on. Here is Clyde about how, you know, Gase has sent a clear message to players and coaches, for that matter.
Coach Gase is clear that, you know, that you got to learn it or you got to get changed out. You know, we got to try something else. So I think it was made clear to the coaches, too, that, hey, you're responsible for your group and ultimately me, that, you know, if it's a group that doesn't execute, then that goes on the coordinator. So that would go on me, and it would be taken personally and should be taken personally.
Something you got to know about Clyde Christensen, you know, the Dolphins' offensive coordinator, like, he's like that uncle that you love at the family reunion who cracks these, like, dumb jokes. They're funny, but they're also kind of dumb. Like, Clyde Christensen, he's like Rodney Dangerfield. I don't get no respect. And so Clyde, sometimes when he's at the podium, and I love this about the guy, I look forward to the Clyde Christensen press conference every single week, the Dolphins' offensive coordinator. Like, he starts running material. Like, the guy's doing stand-up sometimes. So I thought this was too great not to include today. This is Clyde Christensen sharing personal anecdotes about family and friends giving him a hard time about the Dolphins getting shellacked 40-0 last week.
Ton, you know, we had a little time, even, you know, I was laughing. I had my Miami gear on, and you're walking down. I walked down the Hollywood Boardwalk and got a little workout there, and even someone, you know, some guy was carrying something, and he made a comment about the, you know, so you, about the Dolphins, and, you know, hey, I'm moving slow, kind of like the Dolphins, you know, and you know, so it's everywhere. Yeah, it's no fun, you know, it's no fun, and you know, it is no fun. It's no fun to, you know, the kids, all my girls call and check in and make sure I'm okay. It was a beatdown. It was a beatdown mentally, physically, coaching wise, and it's awful. There's nothing fun about it. It's not good. It's unacceptable, and it's not fun. And then that's where the a few hours here or there off even is almost negative. You just want to get back on the field. That's the only way you forget those and put them behind. And, you know, so that's why it's always so important to win those off weeks and stuff like that. That, it wasn't a fun weekend to be a Dolphin.
Clyde Christensen running stand-up material on us in the media room. It wouldn't surprise you to recall that Clyde Christensen, he was the first and only member of the Dolphins coaching staff last season to crack a joke about Laremy Tunsil in the shower. he was the one guy who said, oh, the next time we're on the road, we got to check the showers in those team hotels. Like, he was that guy, and it's nice to have that guy on the staff because it does add a little levity, you know, for a team that, you know, just traded on paper one of their best players and just lost 40-0 in an NFL game. To get some levity like that, I think, is important. But here's Christensen going back to the running back situation. He was asked, how will the running backs be productive? How can they be productive without the workhorse, Jay Ajayi?
I'm not sure how that'll happen. You know, somehow we'll try and get it to happen. Sometimes a fresh start for somebody is, you know, you get a little jump from it, a little energy from it. So, you know, and that was kind of my, you know, even Jay going there, you know, maybe sometimes a fresh change is good. So sometimes you do get a little burst from, you know, a little burst from the change. So that would be one way I think it happens. And other than that, you know, those two guys, you know, it gives them a chance, a fresh start. It gives, you know, gives everyone a little bit of a fresh start. So I'm just hoping that, you know, that'll you know, it'll be just a change up a little bit. And, you know, so that doesn't mean that it's the cure-all, and that doesn't mean that Jay was the problem or this or that. But, you know, we haven't played very well this season, and we have to try some new stuff. We have to try some different things, and hopefully it'll give us a little bit of a lift or a jolt.
You know, a couple people have run this by me, listeners, over the last couple days, saying that, oh, Dono, I'm going to be so mad if, you know, Jay Ajayi, his first game as an Eagle, he goes off for 150 yards. I'm going to be so mad at what we lost. Let me give you a piece of advice. Don't worry about what Ajayi does in Philly, because that is a better team, a better offense, right? I mean, for him this year, it's a better situation. That's a Super Bowl contender. The Dolphins' offense has a half dozen issues, closer to a dozen issues, even without Ajayi. Don't worry about what Ajayi does in Philly. Like, don't. That's going to keep you up at night. If he goes off for 150 yards and two touchdowns in his debut there, that's going to drive you insane. Don't worry about that. Worry about what the Dolphins do without Ajayi. Like, that should be your only concern. Because if you take any back out of the Dolphins' backfield and send them to a significantly better offense, they're going to be better there and more productive. Don't worry about what Ajayi does in Philadelphia. Worry about what Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams do these next couple of weeks. If you can get those guys involved in the offense, because, okay, even if you're an Ajayi fan, and there are a lot of you out there who are pissed about this move, even if you are an Ajayi fan, you understand that he does lack a lot in the pass-catching department, that he's not a great receiver out of the backfield, and that Damian Williams and arguably even Kenyon Drake are both better in that area. How can the Dolphins maximize that? How can the Dolphins maximize turning their running backs and Sonoris Perry, throw him in the mix as well? He'll probably get some carries as the third guy. How can they maximize that ability to catch passes out of the backfield and make Jay Cutler look a little bit better? And the big question mark without Jay Ajayi is when you need those big yards between the tackles late in games, when you need to pick up those tough 2, 3, 4 yards on you know, 2nd and 3, 3rd and 2 late in a football game, you're trying to win a game. Can you get that production out of Kenyon Drake and out of Damian Williams and company? Here is Clyde Christensen on what Kenyon Drake brings to the table.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think he's an extremely fast guy, and he's extremely good receiving skill guy, you know. So I do think that he's a little bit of a different, you know, he's a different style than Jay was. And, just his speed, his ability to take the ball around the corner, his ability to bounce it or go back door. And, you're not quite as sure where he's going to run. So I think that gives you a little extra threat. His speed's, you know, to be feared. And then the other thing to me is just his hands, you know, that his hands are extremely good. And now there's going to be some trade-offs, too, that he's going to have to be, you know, it's going to be some protection issues and stuff like that, he's going to be in the fire. You know, it's a lot different than, you know, walk-through that all of a sudden you got blitzers coming and twists and turns and all those things. So, you know, it'll be a challenge for him. But that those are the traits he brings that are kind of unique to him.
I love how people are now on the plumbers911.com text line. You can reach us there at 56022, but please don't text and drive. People are suggesting future jokes for Clyde Christensen because he's got to have material for every presser. Like he's got his once-a-week engagement at the Davey Improv, the Dolphins media room. He's got to have at least one solid one-liner to get through every presser. And a texter writes in, Dono, what's next from Clyde? Take my wife, please. Like, that's his style. Like, he's got the Rodney Dangerfield style of material. I personally love it because he's like a really lovable uncle. Like, he's one of my favorite people to talk to in the South Florida sports scene. Like, he and Manny Diaz, the Hurricanes defensive coordinator, for different reasons. Because Manny Diaz is all, like, he's a zealot. He's all fired up about everything. Whereas Clyde Christensen, he's kind of corny and kind of hokey. And I love that approach. I love both of those things. But here is last thing here from Clyde. He was asked if Kenyon Drake can handle a heavy workload.
I feel good. I mean, I'm not certain because we don't have empirical data on it. But, the times we've asked him to do things, and he has carried a heavy workload on special teams. So it's not like he's not a tested guy. You know, he's NFL tested. You return kicks, you cover kicks, you work the punt team. You know, it's not you're not throwing a guy in there who doesn't understand how fast and how big and how violent this game is in this league. You know, he does know that. That's a plus. You know, so you're not throwing a guy in there who hasn't been hit. You know, you can't lack courage and return kicks in this league, and you sure understand the speed of the game if you're covering kicks. So I do think that's an advantage to him. But as far as just day to day and carrying a ball, and I remember we had that same discussion on Jay last year that, you know, it's an interesting thing to get hit, get tattooed like they tattoo you in this league for week after week after week after week. The other thing that'll help us is that he won't have to do it alone, that it's going to be by committee, and that we're going to play those other guys also. And, you know, that, that that it's going to be done by committee, so it won't be where Jay, you know, would have the 24, the 25, or 26 carries. It shouldn't be that situation, so that should help him also. But it's violent. It's a violent position, you know, practicing when you're sore. I mean, I think those are the things we talked through last year when we had a guy who hadn't really gone through a 16-game season as a starter, same thing. It's after about four games, after a short week and carrying the ball 23 times, you don't feel like practicing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, it gets harder to practice. So that's part of it. You have to learn how to function when everything's not right. You got a couple tweaks, you're tired, you're beat up, and you're sore, and you wish you had a couple extra days off, and you just don't. They just keep rolling at you.
That was Miami Dolphins offensive coordinator Clyde Christensen, who gave you in that soundbite, by the way. That was Clyde today around 12 noon addressing the media. He gave you confirmation there that, yeah, it's a running back by committee now, that you are not directly trying to replace Jay Ajayi. Now, I don't believe that the team automatically gets better without Jay Ajayi. I don't. And so, you know, one of, like, the weird takeaways you have from this trade, this is obviously a long-term move, right? Like, this is Adam Gase trying to continue to create his culture for this team, both on the field and in the locker room, right? Because I think he wants guys to act and be a certain way. He also wants running backs to play a certain way. And that does involve being more of a multiple threat through catching passes like Drake and Damian Williams both do. But this is not a move that makes you better right now, even though you are a 4-3 team that does have a shot to make the playoffs. I mean, it's not crazy. You know, it looks crazy because the Dolphins' offense is so ineffective, but record-wise, they're in the mix. This is not a team that you would expect at 4-3. I don't care how embarrassing their last loss was, 40 to damn nothing. This is not a team record-wise that should be throwing in the towel. And for a team that's still in playoff contention, it does seem strange to trade away a guy who was your team MVP and a Pro Bowler last year. So this is obviously a long-term move. And yeah, I've seen this pointed out by a couple of very smart people in the media this week that, and obviously technically it's Tannenbaum and Chris Greer who make a move like this, but with the way the Dolphins work, none of this happens without Adam Gase's approval, Adam Gase's suggestion, or Adam Gase signing off on it, because he does have control over the 53-man roster. So it's obvious this move had Adam Gase's blessing if it wasn't his idea in the first place. And this is not the type of move a coach would make if he's worried about his job security. So if anybody out there, and I know we hear from some Gase haters that think the guy is or should be on the hot seat, this is obviously not the type of move a coach would make if he feels like his job is in jeopardy now or will be in jeopardy at the end of the season, right? Because you don't trade away a Pro Bowler for a fourth-round pick if you think your job is in question right now. So that's not the way that Adam Gase is conducting this. So I don't think this move makes the Dolphins better right now, because you can't tell me you get rid of Ajayi and Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams getting more carries are suddenly going to make the Dolphins' offense better. I don't believe it happens like flipping a switch that way, but if Adam Gase believes that this is a long-term improvement, I hope and want to trust the man. I do. Because I still think, even after all this, crazy as it may sound, Adam Gase still strikes me as a guy who knows what he's doing and has a plan. Shocking, right? But I've been through the eras of Joe Philbin. I've been through the eras of Tony Sperano. And, well, Cam Cameron is in a different class, because that guy was really not fit to coach an NFL team. And the argument was there for Philbin and Sperano also. But none of those gentlemen struck me as being guys who had a plan and knew what they were doing. And despite everything going on right now for the Dolphins and their offense, Adam Gase still strikes me as somebody who has a plan and knows how to implement that plan. We'll talk some Hurricanes on the other side. And we'll talk to you guys if you want to get in and share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines. 305-567-0560. 954-567-0560. Pound 560 on your cellular. Or you can text us on the plumbers911.com text line at 56022. But please don't text and drive. One of the best things I've read this week, preparing for Miami and Virginia Tech this weekend, where the experts are doubting you, they're picking against you, Vegas has you as a 2.5-point underdog at home. I thought Matt Porter from the Palm Beach Post brought up the two best reasons why Miami has a great shot to put away Virginia Tech this weekend. We'll talk about that when we come back. But right now, man, I want to talk about the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. the quarter deck is my spot for a great meal and a great sporting event. Yeah, I know baseball is done now. Congrats to the Astros. But there's so much happening with the NBA in full swing, pro and college football, UFC pay-per-view fights. George St. Pierre is back facing Michael Bisping this Saturday night at UFC 217. The Canes and Hokies play this Saturday night. There's so much happening. And whether it's a big game or a big fight, you can watch it at the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. The Quarterdeck has zero cover charge for every UFC pay-per-view fight. You walk in, you pay nothing at the door. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And while you're enjoying the big game and the big fight, the food is delicious. The seafood is exquisite at the Quarterdeck. I love the fresh oysters and Maine lobster, the world-class sushi. The fresh mahi is so good. I love the buffalo shrimp. That's my favorite appetizer on the menu. If you're not a seafood fan, the chicken wings are out of this world. Crispy or grilled, they're so good. I love to build my own burger with tons of fresh toppings. I love the turkey burger. I love the chicken ciabatta sandwich with fresh mozzarella cheese and tater tots on the side. Man, I'm making myself hungry, but I always save room for at least a little dessert. Even if you have to share it, you have to try the key lime cheesecake, because that is the perfect way to finish every meal. And the drink specials are excellent. 2-for-1 happy hour all day, every day. I love the 2-for-1 margaritas. It's a great way to wash down my meal at the Quarterdeck. You want to find your location by visiting them on the web at quarterdeckrestaurants.com, because the Quarterdeck is where you come for the food and stay for the fun. To set the table for Panthers Blue Jackets tonight, I miss George. It's weird, you know, because I go to pretty much every game here, of course, at the arena. And it's so weird walking, like, down the media hallway and not seeing George Richards in the same seat that he's been sitting in since the BB&T Center opened in 1998. It's weird not seeing him there, because he's been covering this team since the beginning. And now he's in Columbus, but he's back in town with the Blue Jackets. We'll take a phone call in a second. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines, 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560. Pound 560 on your cell, or you can text us at 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line, but please don't text and drive. Texter writes in, Dono, on point on Gase, growing pains. We need to stick with it at least 3 more years. Well, I'm not even going to say at least 3 more years. Situation totally dictates that, right? You know, this year, first of all, not even half over, and it is a tough way to start the season when you lose your starting quarterback to an injury preseason, and you lose a couple of other players for the year, and you have Hurricane Irma, you have no bye week. So it's a strange year. I'm not saying you guarantee Gase 3 more years, but certainly I still have faith in this man's ability, talking about Adam Gase, to turn this around and implement his plan. I don't know if you get 3 more years to implement it. That might be crazy talk, but that time is certainly not up yet, and I don't think it's up very soon. Texter writes in, I am proud to call Adam Gase my coach, but no dispute, he has a very large ego, and it's best not to cross him. You know, that's certainly true about Gase, right? That he has a clear vision and a clear idea of what his players need to do, and if their vision doesn't match with his vision, he's going to look for a new player to do that job. Simple as that. Now, I think it's paid off in the past. I thought he pressed the right button last year, week one, with Jay Ajayi. I thought he pressed the right button last year with Byron Maxwell, ended up cutting Byron Maxwell this year. I thought he pressed the right button by cutting Dallas Thomas and Billy Turner and Jameel Douglas. Not sure if he pressed the right button by signing Jay Cutler. Not sure yet if he's pressed the right button by cutting Jay Ajayi. Not sure if he pressed the right button by bringing in Julius Thomas, or by not giving a bigger effort in the offseason to sign better guards. Right? So you take the good with the bad here. There has been some bad with Gase, and there have been things like the Jay Cutler signing and the Jay Ajayi trade that the jury is still out on, especially the Ajayi trade, because we haven't even played a game yet without Jay, and we don't know what that fourth-round pick is going to turn into. But, you know, the his-way-or-the-highway approach has worked for Gase in some instances. I hope it works here in this instance. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk with Jeff here on WQAM. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Dono, if you can let me, just 3 quick things. Okay. One is, maybe as Dolphins fans, we're looking at Gase going, well, before we had Mo, Larry, and Curly, right? We had Cam Cameron, we had Tony Sperano, we had Joe Philbin. So now we have Adam Gase. It's like having James Bond instead of having those three guys. So maybe we give him more leeway than he deserved. I mean, if he doesn't.
Well, but here's the thing. It's a difficult thing to say because I still don't believe he has outworn that leeway, right? Like, I still think that he is completely still on scholarship. But the question is, when does it end? Like how bad does it have to get? And he's an offensive-minded guy, and the offense can't score any points. How bad does it have to get before people should jump ship? But I don't believe we're at that point yet.
He continues to blame the offense on everybody else except some of his play calling, which has been odd to say the least.
Well, that's not entirely true because I have seen him speak a dozen times over the last 2 years where he has said, I called the wrong plays, I dialed up the wrong schemes. Like, he's been accountable for that stuff. Now, the last couple of weeks, I think his frustration with his personnel has reached a boiling point where he's focused more on guys not doing their jobs than him not doing his job. But he has called himself out for that before on numerous occasions.
As a diehard Dolphins fan, what do you hope for right now? You hope that Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams can produce more yards than Jay Ajayi. Because maybe they can.
No, here's what I hope for. I don't care about yards, Jeff. I don't care about yards. I care about points and wins. Like, I don't care if Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams produce more yards than Ajayi. I care about my team winning more games. That's all I care about. Getting to that point is the only thing important to me.
I know. Right now, Jay Ajayi has not proven anything in wins. He's scoring no touchdowns. He's scoring no points either. He's got zero touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So if Drake and Williams can catch balls out of the backfield and open up the offense and give us more big plays and expand it. Look, you know you have serious problems in certain factors, okay? Julius Thomas is not what you wanted. He's not taking the lanes up the middle. He's not working the middle of the field. He's not the tight end that Adam Gase wanted. So you can blame Gase for sticking with Julius Thomas, right? But you had to figure out a different way to expand the field because everybody who was playing the Dolphins looked at us and say, we're going to put eight in the box. We're going to stack it up front. We're not going to let a guy even get out of the backfield in the first place. And then we're going to let old ragged Jay Cutler beat us, right? And if we can't spread the field and give Jay Cutler simpler decisions, because you know from Jay Cutler's history, if you give him enough chances to make decisions, he's going to make the wrong one. He's going to throw your
usually.
Pick. He's going to, right? So you got to hope that these two guys at least can expand the field. And Williams out on the wing, maybe there's a little more speed. Maybe there's a little more possibility, right?
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
What?
I'm with you. Let me let you run because we got others waiting.
All right, bye.
And yeah, listen, you are hoping now to be able to open up that offense more. He was right about that part. Let's talk to Bert. You're on QAM. What's up, Bert?
Hey, Alex, long time no here. How's it going?
Hey, Bert, how you been, man?
All right, and you? I've been texting you on and off.
I see him, Bert. I always appreciate you.
My pleasure. Hey, like, before I talk about the Dolphins real quick, did you catch any of the World Series? It was a good World Series, man. Let me tell you.
It was. It really was. And I did not have a rooting interest. I'm not like one of these bandwagoning millennials who just picks a team to root for and pretends they've been a fan their entire life. But I was happy to see the Astros win, given the way they built that team up the right way.
Yep,
and given what
too.
that city has gone through after the hurricane that they suffered. I was happy for them. I wasn't rooting for either team, but I was happy for Houston.
Yeah, I was rooting for Houston, but at the same time, you know, I'm a huge baseball fan, and at the same time, I hope to see a game seven because when you see something as good as that, you want it to keep on going. If you're a big fan, a big baseball fan, you just want the series to go the distance. Seven, that's what makes it good. A game seven in any kind of sport. But the Dolphins, the last quarter, Jeff made a point there. Against the Ravens, from the beginning, we were outmatched. I mean, their defense, all they did was blitz. You couldn't do nothing. I mean, the offense could not do nothing about it. That's why Gase, the next day in his press conference, was so pissed off. And he pointed out, that's his way of doing things. You know, you have to respect it. He pointed out Jay Ajayi doesn't block. He's back there. Okay, all he thinks about, like you said, is the big yards. Okay, big yards does not always come out your way. You need to find a way to score. You need to find a way to block. And, I know he said, the coach said that, but you need to find a way to block. You need to find a way to pick up the blitz. If you don't do those two things, I don't care who's back there, you know. The bad thing with Cutler is they already know how to play him. He doesn't roll out. He doesn't spread the offense. You put eight or whatever, you blitz every single time, you're not going to score much and you're not going to win much. I'm sorry to say, I don't care who's out there.
And I appreciate the call, Bert, and you damn well know that message has been sent now to Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams. Now you guys are up. Your roles are going to increase exponentially with Jay Ajayi no longer in town. If you don't do your jobs, if you don't block the right guys, study your playbook, study the game film during the week, the way that Ajayi apparently wasn't doing. And if you are not ready to be a cog in the wheel, right? If you have 2 or 3 yards there to pick up, you pick those up. You don't have to try to hit the home run on every play. I think the message has now been sent loud and clear to those running backs, plus Sonoris Perry, who's the third guy who will probably get a few looks, a few snaps per game. The message has been sent loud and clear that this is your job. If you don't do it, we will find somebody else who will. Wanted to get to a couple of Hurricanes points here. I thought Matt Porter, who, by the way, is going to join us tomorrow in the 6 o'clock hour. He writes about the Canes for the Palm Beach Post, covers the Canes for the Palm Beach Post. I thought he made a great couple of points in the paper today on this Virginia Tech matchup. There are two factors, says Porter, that could swing Saturday's crucial ACC Coastal game in Miami's favor. One of them is the home crowd. I think more should be made of that, because I always realize any time Miami has to go to Blacksburg in a night game, it's like an execution. Now, Hard Rock Stadium, historically for the Hurricanes, may not be the home field advantage that Lane Stadium in Blacksburg has been for Virginia Tech, but you take that advantage away from them, and I expect a good crowd at Hard Rock this week. That's a big advantage Miami, as the Hurricanes hope Hard Rock will be as loud as it has ever been in the season plus at the renovated stadium with the canopy and all that. They will be by far the unfriendliest environment for Virginia Tech, which has played road games at sleepy Boston College and at a de facto neutral site at East Carolina. And the other factor, according to Porter, is Virginia Tech's weakness on defense in stopping big plays through the air. And that's Miami's strength. You need to have, I think, at least 3-4 big plays, X plays in this game for Miami to win. Last week you had a 78-yarder, a 51-yarder, and a 49-yarder. You need plays like that, I think, to keep Miami's offense moving, because you will have a tough time sustaining a running game against Virginia Tech. George Richards is in the building. He's going to join us when we come back, broadcasting live from the BB&T Center here on WQAM.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. For more, visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on South Florida's sports leader, 25 years and counting.
Miami Sports Radio, WQAM.
I ain't been getting high, well maybe a little, baby.
Back here at the BB&T Center in Sunrise, and what a treat. A man who covered this team for so many years, formerly of the Miami Herald, now of the Columbus Dispatch. So with Columbus in town, George Richards is in the building. Oh, and you still have the Miami Herald on your lanyard there. So celebrate. How you doing, my friend?
Alex Dono, how are you, my friend? I like the beard.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I've really gone savage.
I wish I could grow that beard being in Columbus. I mean, that is a thick winter beard. I don't know how you walk around South Florida without sweating like a madman.
The thing is, I sweat so much anyway. Okay. It doesn't really make a difference
for me. It looks good, man.
Well, see,
but it looks good on you, though. Okay.
Right. Well, see, you can still grow a little hair on the top of your head. I cannot. A little. So I had to grow something real. Did you see, by the way, of course, there you are now on the Media Wall of Fame here in the BB&T Center.
Did you see the size of my mug?
That's huge.
It's hard to miss. It looks like Joe Rose's head. I mean, they asked me for a picture, so I took a selfie at the office. I didn't know that was for all to see. I thought it was for my ID.
Oh, wow.
So I went, I went close up. You know, that's what you do for IDs. I didn't know it was going to be a Wall of Honor deal.
You can't miss it. I get off the elevator, and I see the head of God, like, sitting in front of me there in the wall. So I love it.
There you go. How are you, pal?
I'm doing very well, man. It's so great to have you back
here. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you. And Columbus playing very well, George.
Yeah.
Well, what do you make of this game tonight? Columbus has a goaltender in Bobrovsky that is off to a torrid start.
Yeah.
I mean, well, what do my Panthers have to do to try and create some goals here tonight?
You're going to have to shoot at Bobrovsky. You're going to have to get rebounds on him. I think everybody knows that. I mean, he's a terrific goalie. He gave up 3 the other night to Boston, but those were power play goals or 4-on-4. He's been a joy to watch. I've been very lucky. I've gotten to cover Roberto Luongo for a good chunk of my career here in South Florida. covering the Panthers, and now I got Sergei Bobrovsky. Bob, as I like to call him, because I can't pronounce his name. It's the easiest name in the world, and I always stumble over it. Bobrovsky. Sergei Bobrovsky is a terrific goalie. Alex Dono.
Oh, man. How many years, George, did you cover the Panthers?
Almost 15, I think.
Wow.
Since 2004, so 14 seasons, something like that.
What have you made of the team so far this season?
Well, the little bit I've been able to watch and listen to the 560 broadcast. That's right, Doug Plagans. I listen to you, buddy. I think the Panthers are going through a little bit of growing pains. I mean, and I think Bob Bugner even said that in training camp. That, guys, give us a month. Give us 2 months. Let us keep our head above water, and we'll be all right. And, they've changed up the defense. You've lost Roberto Luongo for a little bit. I think they're trying to find their way. And they are keeping their heads above water for the most part. So, we'll see where it goes for the Florida Panthers.
Florida Panthers, Columbus Blue Jackets tonight. You want to follow George Richards. Twitter account has not changed, at George Richards. Enjoy the game tonight, my friend, and enjoy your time here and back in the old stomping grounds.
I will. Thank you, Alex Dono. Thank you, Billy. Thank you, Doug Plagans, for nothing that you've done.
Doug and Billy will join me next. Panthers preview is coming your way after this on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
This podcast is presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.